Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got a really interesting mix of sources today, haven't we?
Yeah, it's quite a combination. You've got these sort of casual notes from actual conversations side by side with a pretty formal academic review.
Exactly. And we've basically mashed them together to create, well, a shortcut, I guess, a comprehensive guide to functional Indonesian vocabulary.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Because that mix, it's gold, really. It means
we're
not just giving you dictionary words. We're aiming for high utility stuff.
Right.
Vocabulary you can actually use in, say, three key areas: basic survival needs, social connection, and then that more structured professional or academic setting. The goal is equipping you, the listener, with the verbs, nouns, connectives that, wow, that make you sound less like you're reading a phrase book.
And more like you're actually thinking in Indonesian.
Ah.
Love it. Okay, let's jump right in with something everyone gets. Forgetting things. Information overload.
Ah, yes. We've all been there.
You learn a new word and poof, it's gone. So the core verb is lupa, to forget.
Perfect starting point. Because it immediately shows something cool about the language. If you're someone who forgets things often, you know, a forgetful person,
yeah,
you're a palupa.
Ah, okay, so lupa becomes palupa.
Exactly. See how that P prefix turns the action into the actor?
Yeah.
That's a really key pattern, something to watch out for as you're learning.
That is a fantastic insight right off the bat. It's nice to know there are these, like, internal shortcuts in the language. Okay. So moving to that first bucket, essential actions, daily life stuff. The casual notes really focused here.
They did. And first up, we need words for just being somewhere, living. The sources made a clear distinction between pinda and tinggal.
Okay.
Pinda is about the actual move, you know, relocating, moving apartments, changing cities, that physical act.
Right, the action. Whereas tinggal, that's more about where you reside.
Precisely. It's about where you live. Saya tinggal di Jakarta.
I'm in
Jakarta. It implies a more stable state, your current location.
That seems pretty fundamental for just talking about your day.
Absolutely. And sticking with daily needs, the notes highlighted kusha, to wash.
Okay.
And here's another one of those efficient language things.
Mm-hmm.
Kushin, that's the noun. It means laundry.
So kushi is the verb. Kushin is the noun. Yep. Laundry.
Yep. Attach that anakasa suffix, and suddenly you've got the thing that needs washing. If you're having a rough week, maybe you have banyak kushin. Lots of laundry.
Huh. And after dealing with banyak kushin, you definitely need teeter.
Sleep, yes.
Because you are K-pek. Tired. Those two go together.
Essential states, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, connecting this all, one of the most versatile words that popped up in your notes was buat.
Buat, okay.
At its core, it means to make or for.
Yeah.
But here's a really important technical point for listeners.
Works on us.
When you use it as a verb, like you're actually creating something, it needs the me prefix. It becomes membuat.
Ah, membuat.
You have to use membuat for making something concrete, like membuat rencana, making a plan.
Okay.
But if you're using it like the English word for, as a preposition, like this gift is for you, then you just use the root form buat.
So membuat is to make, buat is for. That prefix makes all the difference.
Huge difference. Understanding that me prefix thing really unlocks its utility.
Yeah, I can see that. Pair that with the verb mau, to want. You mentioned saya mau kopi. I want coffee. Basic survival sorted.
Pretty much. And, oh, before we move on, we have to mention some quirky nouns that showed up. It's always nice when you get a quick win, right?
Definitely.
Like realizing the English word wine. It's just wine in Indonesian.
Easy one. Yeah. But I loved the jamur discovery.
Ah, yes. Jamur.
It means mold. And mushroom.
It does. You need context for that one, obviously. Don't want to mix those up.
I know.
But think about the linguistic efficiency again. One word covers two things that are, well, maybe texturally a bit similar.
Okay, I see the connection. Fuzzy stuff.
Fuzzy stuff, exactly. Whether it's delicious or potentially hazardous.
Crucial for fridge cleaning day. Okay, so we've covered existing, washing, want, and coffee. The next logical step is connecting with people. Section 2, honesty, social stuff, and time.
Right. You can't really build relationships without words for truth.
Yeah.
And lies. So we contrast bohong, to lie, with jujur, honest.
Bohong and jujur. Got it. And hey, there's that pattern again you mentioned. Can you make a noun from jujur?
You absolutely can. Kejujuran, honesty.
Kejujur. Nice. And you need kejujuran to avoid masala problems.
Definitely helps avoid masala. And if you're being honest, you're probably talking, communicating. The sources gave us kungobrol.
Which is like a casual chat.
Exactly. Relaxed, informal, and then bikara, which is a bit more formal, to speak.
Okay, gongobrol and bikara. But the real linchpin here seems to be connecting who you're talking to. The notes really hammered on Sama.
Yes, Sama is crucial.
Like Aku Hodor Sungobrol Sama Merek, I have to chat with them. Is Sama the main word for with?
That's a great question. It's incredibly high utility. While there are other words, Sama is kind of the workhorse because it means both with and same.
Oh, interesting. Dual purpose.
Very versatile in casual, even semi-formal chat. And if you add that verb prefix we saw earlier, you get bersama, meaning together. Often you hear it doubled up. Sama-sama.
Right, sama-sama. And I also saw sambil in the notes. While.
Yeah, sambil. For linking two actions happening at the same time. The classic example is saya makan sambil menonton TV. I eat while watching TV.
A common activity. Now, on the flip side, negation. The informal negative. The sources use ga or enga a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's your everyday negative instead of the more formal tidak. Unless you're in a very formal situation, writing something official or speaking to someone very senior, you'll mostly hear and use ga or enga.
Okay, good tip. Wow. Like in that example, mereka ga bilang kesatu samalan. They don't tell each other. Use ga.
Exactly. Keep it natural.
Right. Now, time. This always seems tricky. The notes spend quite a bit of energy here.
Time markers can be confusing, yeah. But essential for planning anything social, you absolutely need lusa.
Lusa? What's that again?
The day after tomorrow.
Oh, wow. One word for that. That is convenient. We don't have that in English.
Nope. But for bigger time chunks, the structure is different. You need phrases.
Okay.
For the future, you use yang akan datang, which literally means that is coming. So minggu yang akan datang is the week that is coming next week.
Minggu yang akan datang, and for the past?
You use yang lalu, that is past. So minggu yang lalu is the week that is past. Last week.
Okay, yang akan datang for future, yang lalu for past. Makes sense. And what about baru? I saw that used in a time context too.
Baru, very useful word. It can mean new, yes, but often it acts like just, emphasizing something recently completed.
Like saya baru datang.
Exactly, I just arrived.
Yeah.
Huge value from one small word. That, and sebelumnya, meaning previously, helps smooth out stories when you're recounting things.
Got it. Okay, so we've chatted, we've managed time. Now let's shift gears into section 3. This is the more structured stuff from the academic review. Professional academic language.
Right. We're moving from, you know, coffee chats to planning bungambungan deity. Personal development. It involves knowing the players and places. The docent, that's the lecturer.
Mm.
The cursos. The conferenzi. Conference. And often, the big goal for students is getting a magang, an internship.
Magang, okay. And the key verb to actually do things in this context.
That would be mengerjakan. It means to work on, to execute tasks. Whether it's homework or a major project plan, mengerjakan is your go-to verb.
Mengerjakan. Got it. And in this professional world, you also bump into admin terms, right? Like taking QT.
Yep. QT is leave, like vacation or time off.
Yeah.
And making sure you follow the aturan, the rules, often discussed in the ruang rapat, the meeting room.
Now, this brings up managing change. The sources seemed quite specific about different verbs for changing things, kind of like the buat membuat thing earlier.
Exactly the same pattern. You see maguba and beruba.
Okay.
Manguba, with the man prefix, is active. You change something. It's transitive, takes an object, like we need to manguba the plan.
Right, you're doing the changing.
Yes, whereas beruba, with the bare prefix, is intransitive. It means something is changing, evolving on its own. The situation biruba, focus is on the state itself.
That's a subtle but crucial difference for professional talk. Now, the academic notes also had some pretty strong words. Authority, conflict, I saw mellowing.
To forbid. Yeah.
And the result could be feeling super mara, super angry. That sounds intense.
It does sound intense. And mellowing is a strong verb used when rules are firm, non-negotiable. But here's the interesting part.
Yeah.
The sources immediately balance that. They stress that the tugas or pekerjaan, the job, the duty of the lecturers, isn't just to enforce rules. It's mainly to kasih tahu.
Which is like tell them, informal.
Yeah, it's a casual shortening of memberitahu, to inform or to tell. Their job is to inform, not to menyalahi the student.
That I see to blame.
So forbid certain things, yes, but the focus isn't on blaming. It's on informing, mentoring. Precisely. It points towards a balance. Strict expectations exist, but the ultimate goal, repeated in the sources, is creating a lingkungan, an environment that is menjinspirasi, inspiring.
Wow. That's a really interesting cultural insight packed into the vocabulary, that tension between rules and inspiration.
It really is. It suggests a focus on responsibility and growth, not just punishment.
I also have to give a quick shout out to the fun technical words that slipped in there, clearly from some design context. Gradian, garis for line, bentic for shape.
Right.
And even a specific color, biru electric, electric blue.
Huh. Yeah, it shows how the language adapts, right? There's functional vocabulary for every niche.
Okay, final section. Let's nail down the little words, the glue that holds sentences together.
Connectives and markers, yeah. We need things like sonya.
Sonya. What's that function?
It's basically because,
yeah,
but used conversationally. Like explaining why you did something, kind of like saying the thing is or the reason being.
Okay, conversational cause. And for uncertainty, when you're not sure,
you lean on munken, meaning maybe or probably, and klau or jika, both meaning if. Very useful for hypothetical situations like klau, they signed up, maybe there's a discount.
Right. And limits, saying only.
Two main ways topped up.
Mm-hmm.
Kuma and hanya.
Difference.
Kuma is generally more casual, more common in speech. Hanya is a bit more formal.
Mm.
Both work fine for saying things like kuma sedikit only a little.
Kuma sedikit.
Got it.
And comparing things, like younger.
Super easy. Just add levi before the adjective. Levi muda is younger.
And my personal favorite, levi nut.
Tastier. Exactly. Levi is your friend for comparisons.
Finally, what if you get completely stuck in a conversation? Panic buttons.
Essential life raft. You need apa artinha.
That doesn't mean apa artinha.
And berapa jam. How many hours? Crucial for logistics.
Good ones. And to wrap things up neatly, the notes had a couple of nice closing phrases.
Yeah, very clean ways to end. Itu aja.
That's it.
And gaatalagi.
Nothing else.
Simple, effective conversational endings.
Perfect. So to kind of pull this all together, we've journeyed from just needing coffee because you're Kapik.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to the challenges of penjambangandiri in a professional setting. It feels like we've covered tools not just for words, but for building sentences, showing intent.
That's absolutely the goal, from handling your kyushin, your laundry, to planning your next conferencity. It's about having the functional structure.
So thinking bigger picture then,
mm-hmm,
what does this blend of vocabulary, the social, the academic, the rules, the inspiration, tell us about communication itself?
Well, I think the language structure itself reveals cultural priorities, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We saw those strong, strict verbs, merarang, to forbid, ninahi, to blame. They exist.
Right, right.
But they seem consistently softened or contextualized by this overarching goal, creating an environment that's mingan sparathi, this inspiring.
That contrast again.
Exactly. It suggests that perhaps in Indonesian professional culture, effective communication isn't just about laying down the law. It deeply values mentorship, responsibility, and fostering potential, even while maintaining clear boundaries. It's a more holistic approach than just focusing on the conflict words alone might suggest.
That is a fantastic final thought, a balance between structure and inspiration. Okay, everyone, go practice your conversations, maybe review these notes again, Lusa, the day after tomorrow.
Feels like a plan.
Itu aja for this deep dive.
Sampai jumpa.
Sampai jumpa.